As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Podcast listeners, this is for you. Welcome to No Bunts, the baseball show for the casual fan. I'm Tass Bellis, and with me today is the man making the magic happen, JD. Nope.
Here I am.
There he is.
a lot of moving parts over here.
A lot of moving parts, because there's no co-hosts today, but a very, 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 very special co-host filling in. It's New York Mets reliever. But he's not just a pitcher. He's not just a baseball player. He's a gamer. He's a podcaster. He's a DJ. He's a streamer. He does it all. Trevor May. Trevor, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Right on. Listen, we'll get into a cool trivia game a little bit later on that you're very familiar with. But first, I haven't had the chance to talk with anyone about the Red Sox horrendous weekend. Did you see them get smacked by the Blue Jays?
Yeah, that's one of those scores because I just had the realization. It's funny, like a couple weeks ago, that how often I check baseball scores. I'm always like, oh, I don't follow it super closely, and then I realized that like I know every score of every game every day. And I remember scrolling down and being like, yikes. So like when you see like scores like 27-5 in the sixth inning, You're basically, as a reliever, I'm like, oh no, which reliever, like who wore it or how many guys wore it? And it turns out everyone did that day. And then I know that's compounded with a couple other not so great outings. And I think I saw a stat like over the last six games, they're averaging giving up like 9.5 runs a game, which is not ideal. It's one of those things where you're looking around your bullpen, you're like, all right, guys, who wants to go in? No? I'm good. You? No? Okay. Well, I guess I got it. Let's hope this goes right. Right. It's tough, man. It's tough.
Yeah, it was a tough weekend. They're kicking around the ball a little bit out there. And bringing up the idea of you sitting around in the bullpen, that makes me think, like, if you guys ever look at the out-of-town scoreboard and you see something like 27-5 and you just want to pull out your phone or something, does that ever happen?
Oh, 100%. And not only that, because it's the Red Sox, and we have Ottavino this year, he loves like checking in on all the teams he's been on and like all the guys he played with. So I wasn't in the pen when they saw that, but I can only imagine how he reacted. He's like, oh no. And he probably was trying to guess who like came in and how it all came, because that's just the way his brain works. He runs through games like that. So like we wish we could go check. So we try to get like some information somehow. Sometimes the bullpen catcher can like run in and check or something for us. But that would have been one we'd be like, hey, Rack, go and check your phone real quick. I gotta know who pitched in this one.
Yes. Yeah, I love you telling me that. You guys look up at the scoreboard and figure things out. I saw you tweeting about the All-Star game where Alek Manoah was on the hill and they had him mic'd up and he was saying, hey, how hard am I throwing? He was talking to the broadcasters. How hard am I throwing? Do you ever look up at the scoreboard and try and figure out, because you're obviously, you know, throwing some heat out there. Do you ever look to see what number you're putting up?
I look every single pitch, and I am not I am not like there's a stigma against it when you're a young guy coming up through pro ball, like you're supposed to like suppress that. You know, when you're in high school, you want to know how hard to turn all the time, and you're supposed to suppress. Supposed to be a pro and not worried about velo all the time. Yeah, it never went away for me. So, and I just kind of leaned into it. I get crap for it, and then I'm just like, just not only that, I look very obviously. I don't even care about like I literally throw the ball, just look straight up. So yeah, I know pretty much how hard I'm throwing every single pitch if it's up on a board somewhere. And like we notoriously know like which stadiums are the worst. Like Yankee Stadium, it's way up in the center field scoreboard in the top right corner. So you have to turn completely 180 and look up. And I do it. I finish and I just every time. It's hilarious. I finish differently in Yankee Stadium than I do anywhere else.
You get on your spin to see 180 degrees. That is hilarious. Yeah, I saw you tweeting about that. That all pitchers one, no, they want to ask the broadcasters, and I wish all pitchers did what you do. This isn't a question. This is more of a hat tip to you. The fact that you put out TikToks, you put out YouTube videos of how you hold your pitches. You're very, very active in that. You show, you know, how you're holding every single pitch that you throw, the difference between fastball grips. That is very, very unique. Maybe I'm just trying to butter you up here, but my next question is, you hate the Yankees, right? You're on the New York Mets. I'm wearing a Toronto Blue Jays shirt. I hope we share that communal hate for the New York Yankees. Is that fair to say?
I think as a player that still wants to continue playing after this year, I'll probably keep the word hate out of my my mouth because, you know, if I became a member of that team, it would quickly, you know, I'd buy in quick. And, you know, and they have they're just historically a very good organization that wins lots of games. And it's, you know, as a player that you can't scoff at that either. You're just like, well, you know, winning's fun. And I would love to be a part of that. So, but I grew up a Mariners fan. They hate the Yankees because I think they've eliminated the Mariners like the last three times they've been in the playoffs. And then I played for the Twins who have lost 19 straight. Pretty much all of those are to the Yankees in the playoffs. And I was a part of being swept by them in the division series in 19. So there's a special place in the heart for Twins fans, for Yankees. And so, and then now I play for the Mets. So, like, you know, context.
Right.
You can maybe come to your own conclusion.
Very, very well done. Very, very, very diplomatic of you. And you have a two-game set coming up with the Yankees starting tonight. You get them for a couple more games in August. And you guys are atop each of your divisions there. So has there been any banter around the clubhouse about a potential World Series meeting, or is that way too far down the road?
It's pretty far down the road, but there is something special about the Subway Series. Last year, you know, both at our place and their place was electric, and, you know, you're going to sell out because whichever team is showing out the biggest is going to fill up that stadium, and right now we're both very good, and Mets fans are going to come out in earnest for sure. And that's something growing up as a kid too, because when I was 12 was the Subway Series and the World Series, and that's when I like got really, that's when I started like watching baseball every single night, and I was really getting into it. So that was a really cool, it just felt larger than life. And so now that I get to be a part of that, it's a super, super cool. It's just like one of those things, you walk out on the field and you just take it in, because it's as close to playoffs without being the playoffs as you can possibly be. And I'm glad that we get to go in our park first this year. I'm excited. The pitching matchups are pretty awesome too. So unfortunately, I'm not quite back and ready to pitch in this leg, but you know, with a little bit of luck, I'll be ready to go for the next time when we go play them in their place. But I'm excited. I'm excited. And a Subway Series would be, it'd just be so fun. It's just something, no matter what happens, it'd be one of the coolest. It'd be something that you'll always remember. So I really hope that it happens and that I get to participate in it.
Yeah, I know last year, you know, you talked about their meeting up with the Yankees last year. You had a great season. I enjoyed your video compilation of all 83 of your strikeouts last year. I know this year has been frustrating. Is that the word for it? As you've tried to battle through multiple injuries. So how are you on your rehab assignment now?
I am feeling very, very good right now about where I'm at. And I had to take a couple things back to square one and just clean some stuff up. I honestly came out this year trying to change a couple things, throwing a split finger fastball quite a bit, honestly, which kind of threw some other things out of whack. And I've been able to now over the last couple months work on that more, find places to use it, use the changeup still, because it turns out that my changeup affects my fastball in a lot of positive ways, and getting rid of my changeup kind of hurt my fastball in ways that I couldn't have anticipated. And so like a lot of things like that I've had time to work through. That's a silver lining of being on the IL, I think, is that you get a little rest, your brain can kind of reset, and you can focus on getting better at certain things that you can't do while you're pitching, because you got to be ready to go every single day, and so you have to conserve energy. So like every moment of every day goes towards going into a game, and then when you remove that, you're able to like break things down and work through them. And I try to use that time effectively in that way, and it's been great. I feel really strong and really, like, this is a weird way to say it, but athletic. I feel more athletic than I have maybe in the last couple of years. More legs under me. And that's going to translate, I think, into feeling good on a day-to-day basis. And the arm has come along too. You know, just getting used to kind of throwing a lot now. I'm going to throw a back-to-back in Syracuse soon so that I don't have to like take 2 days off between every time I pitch. I don't want to be that guy that has that program. I want to be available every day, because that's how you win a World Series.
So Mets have a week here, like the rest of the MLB, before the trade deadline. You'll be back hopefully soon to set up Diaz in the pen. Jacob DeGrom should come back for you guys, which is obviously a big addition. But is the trade deadline something that you guys always kind of you're not looking forward to, because you're all baseball players and you all have to deal with that? Or is it something that you kind of feel positive that there's a prospect that, hey, maybe Juan Soto will be joining us, or what's the feeling here with a week to go before the deadline?
Yeah, that varies wildly, like team to team. I mean, because I've been on Sellers. I was in coming off Tommy John in 18. I was like kind of frustrated, and I was in AAA because we had so many guys. I wasn't quite ready to come back. I was being a starter, and without making five trades at the deadline, I wouldn't have gotten called back up, and I don't know where I would be now. But I getting that opportunity, so that's like you're kind of excited for the deadline, because we saw that coming. And actually Ryan Presley, who's a good friend of mine, getting traded to the Astros is what got me to the back of the big leagues, and then I was able to pitch really well for the next few years. So there's those situations, and then there's ones like we're in here in New York, where you're always going to be a buyer unless you're way out of it. Like, even if we were 500, we'd still probably be going for it, because that's just how it is in markets like this. You can't really pack it in. And so it's really exciting this year because there's so many pieces and a couple potentially massive stars moving that, Steve Cohen has not been shy about saying he's gonna throw the card on the table. So who knows if he does, like, who knows if that's something he wants to do with a guy like Juan. I know Juan's also in our division, and that's not something that teams used to like to do. But they're even talking about Otani, like I don't even know what we're just trying to wrap our heads around, like, what an Otani extension even looks like. Like, anyone who gets him has to extend him, but like, how do you leave it? Or even for Arb next year, he's going to make like $50 million in Arb because he's two players. So we don't know how any of that looks, and it's really exciting. But we know we're talking to, like, the Mets are pretty much in every single conversation, at least mentioned. And when we got Javi last year, it was very exciting. You're going to get someone who is potentially like a massive difference maker, and to be on a team that's in all those conversations, it's going to be really interesting to see where we're at in a week. But it's exciting. We already got Vogie, he's my favorite baseball player. So, in my opinion, we are already winning. So I'm good with that.
Vogie's your best, your favorite baseball player, just because he's
Vogie. He's been my favorite for a couple years. Him and Buxton, Byron, are tied now.
Who had a great All-Star game, obviously, as well. Great dude. Speaking about Ohtani, a pitcher that hits, I wanted to get your feedback on the NL getting rid of the DH. Just now, with the, not even the prospect of you potentially hitting, how does that feel? I know you set yourself up as a batter in the show, like, you know, you're a ball player. Does that do you like it or not?
I love it.
Yeah, I agree.
You just keep me out of there. You don't like. I know, haha, it'd be funny, and we'd be able to watch it on replay for months after that. But yeah, I'm good. I gave up on that dream years ago, and I'm good with it just being dead. We don't need. If I'm in the box, something horrible's happening. We're either like we're in the 17th inning, or like guys just went down, and I don't want either one of those things to happen. So we don't want me in the box. I want some guys who are paid to do that to do it.
Yes.
And also the like, frankly, we were in a lot of tie games last year, and just seeing guys getting pulled after the fifth inning just so we can pinch hit and maybe scratch a run across, and then another one or two bullpen guys had to pitch every day. I hated that because it didn't feel like strategy. It felt more like you have to do it because pitchers are almost worthless in the box.
Yeah.
And I'm like, then why do we do this? So getting the DH allows starting pitchers. Just like you don't have to worry about that anymore, and it allow a starting pitcher to maybe get scrape another inning out of themselves, or go a little deeper into the game, and they appreciate that, and we appreciate that, and then the DH becomes a whole. They have 30 teams that they can go to, so I think it's just generally for players, just long term, it's just a better situation. Even though maybe having a little bit of a better hitter in there is not so much so fun. People always act like, well, it's just a nine hitter. No, it's like you go from a lineup with, you know, Trevor May in it to Nelson Cruz. Like, who wants to, you know, that's the difference. It's oftentimes it's their best hitter is now in the lineup. So like Ohtani, for example, if he were in the NL, he wouldn't be, well, I mean, yeah, he just hit for himself, but
yeah,
you know, like
it's a special
you'd have to make that decision. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. I'm a fan. And it's funny. I haven't seen it mentioned much at all this year.
No,
everyone's like, "Oh, this is great." Yeah, I told you it'd be great.
Yeah, it's become an afterthought. And I love how such a traditional game like baseball, that's always you know trying to keep up with the traditions of the game, just said, "Screw it." No, and they had to because, like you said, a pitcher in the box is just. It's almost embarrassing at times. It's just it's so
most
odd.
Of the time it is.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's just like, okay, well, two outs, you're like, all the innings over. Base loaded doesn't matter. You're like, he's not going to get anything.
I know
it's exciting when something does happen, but it just doesn't happen enough.
No,
there's only one Jacob DeGrom, you know.
Yeah, I think I saw a stat that it's literally last year pitchers struck out 50% of the time. Like, that is a
How's that fun?
Dumb number. Yeah. So I'm glad they did away with it. And I'm glad you agree. And that's a great point about the starting pitchers just want to pitch. And so that's that makes a lot of sense. Not only are you a pitcher, obviously, but you're a basketball fan as well. So we got this question from our friend Mark Scholl, who actually set up this interview. So shout out to Mark Scholl. He wanted to know which MLB players would make the best starting lineup in the NBA.
What MLB players make the best starting lineup in the NBA?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go like guard, forward, or whatever, but.
That's exactly what I was doing.
You do it every.
Who is playing? Like, in my head, I'm like, who's the five?
Who's the baby?
So, I'd say, you know, I don't know how good this guy's going to be at basketball. He probably didn't play much basketball, but, and correct me if I'm saying the name incorrectly, but O'Neal Cruz.
Yeah,
is it O'Neal right? Or O'Neal?
O'Neal
from
yeah.
The Pirates.
Yeah,
let's just say, yeah, that's Kevin. He's our Kevin Durant. The guy's a freak.
Okay,
freak athlete, and he's 6'7". So we'll put him as shooting guards. Our center. Actually, I throw Taiwan Walker in there.
Okay,
at the four. He can hoop a little bit. I'll put DeGrom at the three just because he's good at everything. And I don't know if he's ever touched a basketball, but I'm just assuming he's better than me.
So you're not going in there yourself?
You know what? What I say for Ty? Ty's the power forward. I'll put myself in at five.
All right, that's a good move.
I'll get in and bang. I'm not a agile guy, but rebounds and like post moves, I got those. And I think I would surprise a lot of people with my basketball skills because I'm actually pretty good at basketball.
There you go.
I'll never forget it. I had a teammate in high A. For some reason, I don't know why we did this. We were young, we were idiots. on an off day, we went to like a LA Fitness and just like shot around. And then we played some pickup. And his name was Juwan James. And he was going to go to Florida State to play. He got drafted out of high school, but he was going to play basketball and baseball at Florida State. So he's a very good basketball player. He looked at me. He's like, dude, I'll be honest. I've never seen you look remotely athletic until today. And that meant like it was a backhanded compliment, but I was like, that means so much to me. Thank you. I actually had to miss a start that year because my forearm was sore from dunking. But point guard, who would be our point guard?
Well, that's great.
I need a point guard. Who would be a really good ball handler / Lindor, Frankie.
Lindor, beauty. I was going to say
Altuve. He'd be a Chris Paul type, 100%. He manages the offense, tons of assists, and he's quick.
All right. So Lindor, DeGrom, Cruz, Walker, and May, your starting five.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that.
Solid.
Four Mets and O'Neal Cruz.
All right, let's get to your podcasting because I listened to your May Contain Action Pod, and I didn't know what was happening. I'm just not a gamer, but I enjoyed the chat. This is a question I've always wanted to know. Is Animal Crossing a good game?
Phenomenal game. People love it. It's a little bit too kiddy. Well, I can't say that because I play Minecraft. it's not as sandboxy as I would like. It's not as like open. It's kind of there's kind of a couple specific ways to play, but a lot of people love it, and it's just a really well-made game. It's one of Nintendo's best games I've ever made, I think.
So you play a ton of games, as you said. You play Minecraft, Overwatch, from my research, World of Warcraft, Fortnite on your Twitch channel. But is there a game that you play that you don't stream?
Game that I play that I don't stream? No, there's nothing that I've played and then never streamed. But there's a few that I'll go back to and not just stream as much because it's not a great streaming game. To be honest, Minecraft is one that I play pretty much exclusively now, and I don't stream it that much. I actually just make YouTube videos for that. But I play a game called TFT, which is a League of Legends like chess game, kind of like a strategy game. That one's a guilty pleasure that I'll pop in. And then every once in a while I'll play like a single-player game. I played Elden Ring for a little bit. Just off stream like games like that, they're like story games where like if you've played it, you know what happens. Don't usually do very good on stream. They're kind of boring because if anyone's played it, especially if it's old at all, like if it's been around for a while, then everyone knows what happens, so it's not that fun to watch. Apex Legends I'll play a little bit off stream too. That's my shooter at the moment, and I'll pop in every once in a while. I'm playing a little bit more show. That will be the show, but I play that a lot on stream. So,
all right. Speaking of the YouTube videos that you make, I watched a video of you playing Subnautica, which you're shaking your head because you have a fear of water.
Oh, horrible!
It's a real fear, and you hate it so much that during this video you almost puked. Is that true? Did you almost puke, or are you just a great actor?
Yeah, no, horrifying. Like that is the worst. That the clip we're watching right now, that's the worst. I just having something being underneath me is like it freezes me. I can't, like, I get, if I'm in water, like they said, hey, there's something underneath you, I would lock up to where I couldn't wade or couldn't like tread water. And that's, it's horrible. I think that over the years my wife kind of mentions it a lot, my aquaphobia, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse without like ever going out and doing anything. But we did. We last summer when we were up here, we went to the Rockaways, just outside the city, and we were out in the water, and there's lots of seaweed, but a crab. I like kind of brushed against the crab with my foot. I lost it. I panicked. Full swim. I'm only like four feet deep in water. I go full breaststroke, like 12 feet in. My wife's like, "What is happening?" I'm like, "There's something in there." I'm never going in water again. I have not gone in the water since.
Oh my!
In a year. Yeah, it's awful. I'm gonna have to get over this at some point, but it's not today.
So that was real. That was. I could feel it. I could feel your pain watching that video.
I haven't played that game since. It's a really beautiful game, but like there's these huge, like if you as you progress, the things just get bigger and bigger, and I'm like, no, I'm just not gonna play anymore. I don't. This isn't worth it. I'm glad everyone you can laugh at me for a little bit. That's the point.
Awesome. Awesome that you have a fear of water. No, I'm kidding. Speaking of games you play, do you mind sticking around to play a game that you play yourself on your own podcast in just a quick break?
Sure, that's it.
All right, thank you. We'll be right back with Trevor May.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We are back on No Bunts with New York Mets pitcher Trevor May. Trevor, I was listening to your May Contain Action Pod, and you play a game called Initials that you stole from KFAN in Minnesota, a radio station, so shout out to them. And we're stealing it from you here on No Bunts, and thought that we could play it with you. Now, we picked a category, just to explain the game here. We went movies, actors, TV shows. So what we're going to do here is give you initials of either a movie, an actor, or a TV show, and then we give you hints from vague to specific, and you got to guess the initials that we're talking about, all right? So we'll fly through a few here. Good to go? First one, the initials are SH. First clue. Hypnosis. That's a vague one.
You might be muted.
I think you muted yourself, Trevor.
I did. I don't know how that happened.
That's all right. So hypnosis. But it's vague.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm trying to copy your format. You were pretty vague to start. Second clue. Tony Robbins.
Howe.
Wow. Whoa! Bang!
I what? He's the only. That's the only movie I know he's in.
Yeah, I didn't.
And I just listened to a podcast with Jack Black in it, and they mentioned Shallow Hal. Oh. That's weird. Like literally 2 days ago, so it's fresh in my mind.
Wow, that's a freaking dinger. I didn't think Tony Robbins would be a giveaway at all, but. You're right. I don't know another movie. Is there another movie that Tony Robbins is in, JD?
He probably is.
Yeah, I don't. If there is, I don't know.
Yeah. Wow.
He was pretty in the mainstream there for about 5 years. So
that's true.
He's probably in a couple movies.
Yeah, actually, he's at Warriors games, I think, doing his thing in the front row. Anyways, amazing. All right, second one. The initials are BC. Clue number one, shallow. That's what we call a segue, sort of. Shallow.
Shallow. Bradley Cooper.
Holy shit. This guy's good.
Star is Born. Hey, you know what's funny? You know, that same podcast that I listened to, Jack Black, Bradley Cooper was... Are you guys just getting it from the Smartless podcast? Like, the guests?
Because no. I had no idea.
That's so funny.
That's hilarious. No, I went with a movie... Schellhausen from 2001. Like, I didn't think it was... I know that...
What are the chances?
Yeah. And what? So Bradley Cooper was on Smartless?
He was.
Holy...
I guess those guys are like really good friends with him. I didn't know that.
That's amazing. I know on your podcast you did Step Brothers and so I thought Shallow Hal, you know, you would know the movie. I just figured, you know, maybe.
I love Jack Black.
Yeah, everybody loves Jack Black. All right. Next one. IE. First clue. Cheeky.
I kind of want to just have you give me a second clue. I know what it is. It's Idris Elba, but...
Oh, my God. This guy!
What are the other clues?
DJ Big Driss?
Yeah, no, I would have known immediately then.
You would have known
immediately. I actually listen to his music, too. I like his style of music.
Okay, because you DJ yourself. So, you know, I was catering to you somewhat. I know you like the word cheeky, but I didn't think you'd hit...
And he's English.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd be sexiest man alive, and then drug kingpin, and then Luther. We got real easy at the end. Man, we're going to fly through these. Next one, JW. Will we get a slightly hard one here? First clue, Beagle.
Beagle.
Can we get past two clues? Can we do it? Second clue.
Beagle's
not doing it. 1969 Ford Mustang.
Okay, so I'm not really... I don't have any threads on this one.
Mm. Yeah, thankfully this wasn't on a podcast you just listened to or a musician that you love. I don't know. We'll see here. Third clue. Ian McShane.
I think we found a blind spot.
Oh. Whoa. In the Ford Mustang, we got a blind spot here. So it's Beagle, 1969 Ford Mustang, Ian McShane. Next clue, the Continental.
Continental. I think that's a reference to... I want to say it's a reference to John Wick movies.
We're just going John Wick. Right there. Hitman was the next clue.
John Wick. Oh, JW.
JW.
Why am I thinking... You know what it is? Last three have been actors' names.
Yeah.
And that's what got me.
Yeah, see...
That's what got me. Yeah, that, John Wick. I said it. Ha-ha! Knew that.
I know. I was going to say movie beforehand, but I like that's half the battle in this game, I think, is just jumping from category to category.
Yeah, that is. If you just switch which one of the three things it is, that's... Yeah, that's the way you go.
I would find it tough. So maybe we're jumping to something else here. Maybe we're not. Next clue. Or next initials, I should say. SJ.
Okay.
First clue. More initials. AI.
SJ. Okay.
Next clue. Woody Allen. Not to go all baseball on you, but I think that one's a bit of a curve, a bit of a swerver on you right there. I think
Woody Allen,
yeah.
SJ
is AI. Initials. AI.
Okay.
Third clue. Can sing.
Can sing.
Can sing. Yeah. SJ are your initials.
Got nothing.
Okay. The fourth of five clues. Colin Jost.
Oh, no. SJ can sing.
Woody Allen, AI.
Jokes? So some new Saturday Night Live.
Tangentially. Not really.
What's the fifth one?
Spider. Initials are SJ. It's an actor. I'll say that.
I figured it's a person.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Come on, man. So, you know what caught me there? This is so weird. But have you seen the segments where Che and Jost write jokes for each other at the end of every year?
Yeah.
Like in the last episode?
Uh-huh.
So, Che wrote Jost a hilarious joke about Woody Allen.
Oh.
So, I was like, where does Woody fit? But that's the point. So it's about Scarlett. So they always make fun of Scarlett, but I didn't understand it fully, the joke, I think. So I was like, I'm so caught up with Weekend Update. Something in Weekend Update, and then, you know, SJ's, Scarlett Johansson, Spider. That makes sense. I got to ask Spider.
Yeah, she did a few movies with Woody way back. Can sing, that's an odd one. I was debating putting that
in. I didn't know she can sing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was doing these with my wife, and she's in Sing 2, an animated movie, so she sings multiple songs, and she's very good. And I said, I doubt he's watching Sing 1 and Sing 2 are the animated movies.
I've only seen Sing 1.
So Sing 2 is better.
Sure.
All right, a few more here. The initials are H-A. First clue, booby traps.
Okay.
A second clue, aftershave.
And I lost it. H-A. Next one.
Joe Pesci.
Oh, Home Alone.
There she is. Home Alone. Mm-hmm. I thought that one was fairly easy. But we have to go to three clues. That's a lot for you so far, as our people in watching along, the bleacher creatures we call him. He's so good talking about you. Yes, he's kicking ass here. A few more initials TC. Are we getting hard now or not? First clue, Ray Ferrier.
I don't know who Ray Ferrier is. Probably know them by their face, but I don't know the name.
Second clue is Chief John Anderton.
What was the initials again? TC?
TC. Ray Ferrier.
Okay.
Chief John Anderton. Third clue, Charlie Babbitt. JD made this one. JD? How do you feel about this one so far?
I think it's tough.
It's tough. Let's go to four.
Ethan Hunt.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get this one. What's the fifth one?
You're doing well. You're doing well just flying through these. Because if you don't know these characters, Maverick is the last one.
TC.
TC.
Oh, Tom Cruise.
Tommy Cruise.
What was the second clue again?
John Anderton, Chief John Anderton.
So that's a reference to.
That's a character he played in Minority Report.
Okay, so that's I had heard the Anderson part. I couldn't. The chief thing got me, but I've seen Minority Report quite a bit. I should have known that. I'm kind of disappointed. Maverick gave it over. So we got it.
All right, you're cooking here. I want to end it on a good note. Let's see this one. Initials are GF. Now, I don't know how I feel about this one, actually. First clue is based on true events. We're giving it away with that, aren't we? No, we're not giving it away. We're giving the freaking category.
We'll see, Tess. We'll see.
Actually, we're not. We narrow
it down. It's a movie.
It's a movie.
Or show.
Yeah. See? Could be a show, but it's a movie.
It's a show. GF, okay.
Second one is funny, bracket, like a clown.
Funny. Like a clown.
Yeah.
That's probably a quote. okay.
Third clue is Henry Hill.
That didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I hear you. Fourth clue is De Niro.
GF. De Niro. I don't know what. Oh, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Yeah, that's. I was like, it's a TV show, and then I was like, it's a TV show. Then I just only thought of TV. I don't know, what TV show is De Niro in?
Yeah. Yeah. So we see.
Funny like a clown. Yeah, there we go.
There it is. Now, yeah, it clicks.
There we go.
Okay. Initials, ST. First clue is D&D. D&D, Dungeons and Dragons.
Stranger Things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible show. I can't say enough about this. I don't know if the Duffer Brothers have ever made anything else, but they have absolutely crushed that show.
You've watched all the way through?
Oh, my God. Like, the last season, I was like, this is... Or the last season we just watched, I'm like, this is being pulled together so well.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if that's what was happening in season three. Then season four came, like, no, it's all connected. They're not just making it up like Game of Thrones season by season. We have a master plan here, and they're tying it up with a bow, and it's really, really well written. I'm loving it.
I agree. Yeah, the final season really has made me feel good about watching the whole thing. All right, last one. The initials are RD. First clue: diamonds.
Okay.
Second clue, colorful cast.
Diamonds. RD.
Movie, TV show, or actor. RD. Diamonds, colorful cast.
Okay.
Third clue, like a virgin.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm going to get it.
Directorial debut.
Oof.
You didn't like that clue?
No, it's... Yeah, it doesn't really give it to me.
Yeah, that's... You know, it'll come to you. Last clue. Severed ear.
Severed ear.
You want me to go through the clue?
Well, this one's... I feel bad. It's close. Yeah. Like, you know, those all sound vaguely familiar.
Right.
I'm not seeing connection. RD.
It's in...
directorial debut.
It's older-ish.
Severed ear. Got me.
Wow. We debated this one. Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs. Okay. Yeah, no, it's... I need to watch Reservoir Dogs again. I thought about doing it the other night. It's been a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot.
That's all right.
That was his debut, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the sort of... If you know that one, that's kind of the... Sort of a giveaway, I guess, but not, you know. That's the one I kicked myself. Actually, JD came up with this one. I couldn't get it at first. Then directorial debut. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. The ear should have gave it away.
Yeah, that's what I thought the gimme was. But it's an older movie, 91, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You did well, though. Oh, my God. Killed it.
Isn't this a great game, by the way? I love it. By the way, the guys at WFAN, or KFAN, sorry, WFAN's here. They're deep. You should probably listen to one of their view. Their version of this show, this game, is insanely hard.
Yeah.
But they pick one. So I'll sometimes change up the initials category by category. They do one set of initials, and it's like 10 different things of those same initials. So like the things that they could be, it just ranges to anything.
Yeah.
So I made it like more doable because I played. And I'm good at games like this. I played with them, and I got zero.
Yeah, because the category is it's limitless.
Everything.
It could be anything.
Well, that, and they're like professionals, and it's also there's four of you, and whoever answers first. Oh, so, okay. Like, okay. They're fast, too. So I couldn't be fast enough. I could have gotten two or three of them, but I just wasn't fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were getting them in one clue. Someone would have it after one clue every time.
Yeah,
How does anyone ever score besides you guys?
I haven't listened to it. I mean, that was too much to wrap my head around when you brought that up, that it could literally be rolling pin. Like,
right.
It could be, you know, it could be anything. Never forget, on the
planet. DB was like Dilly Bar, and they're like, birch or balsam wood. And I'm like, balsam wood? And they're like, Dilly Bar. The sticks made of balsam. I'm like, what? Who knows that? Nobody knows that. What is happening? They're like, you know it if you're from Minnesota, because I guess they're from Minnesota. I didn't know that. What the hell? Those are cheating.
That is hilarious. All right, Trevor, thank you so much for coming on and kicking the snot out of initials. We appreciate it. Good luck with the rehab. I'm sure you'll kick the snot out of that as well. You can find Trevor on the Make and Tate Action Pod. On his stream, I am Trevor May everywhere on every social media. So thank you so much, Trevor. Really, really, really appreciate you coming on No Butts.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're awesome. Good luck.
All right.
We got to take a quick break, but after this break, tweet of the night.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with No Bunts. Yeah, basketball Twitter is a thing, but baseball Twitter is also a thing. So we've borrowed Tweet of the Night from No Dunks. Here it is. Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter. This is a good tie-in with No Dunks, because it's fruit related. Like our man Lee Ellis, the Yankees' Garrett Cole loves his fruit. He absolutely loves it. This was a heck of a clip tweeted by Yes Network. This is Garrett Cole in the dugout chomping fruit. Here we go, baby. Wow. just hoofing it down. Absolutely. He is a vacuum, and I think he opened it but first, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, he did.
And here he goes on the oranges, which is a little bit more normal, I would say.
He's not really getting the pulp, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's just sort of sucking the juice out of it.
Which is wrong.
Right. I would say.
Eat the fruit.
Well, it's the fiber, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
I would respect it more if you ate the rind and the peel.
Yes.
Because that stuff is good for you. But the first part, I mean, really, we showed that clip, not so much for the orange, but for the hoovering of the banana. Butt first. You called the bottom, right?
Is that? Yeah, I would say the bottom. I would love to hear Lee's thoughts on that, because I feel like he really wasn't enjoying the banana.
No.
He was, you know, Lee, he eats, what, 3 or 4 bananas a day. But I've never seen him do that. Yeah. I have seen him take like a half a banana and just sort of shove it in his mouth.
But, yeah. Yeah, Gerrit Cole looked like he needed to get out there.
He needed to be somewhere. But you got 3 outs, right? Like you got time, right?
No. Baseball's a fast game these days.
Really?
No, it is not. No, I guess maybe he decided that that was the third out just happened. That's what it looked like to me. Yeah. And that he needed to eat that.
Oh,
banana.
Suddenly I have to eat fruit. Like, you've had 2 outs to get there, though. Maybe it was like a double play and then, I don't know.
Yeah, so that was phenomenal. A quick little clip there. A quick tweet of the night. Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Swole, as he's called in some places. I thought that Gerrit Swole Photoshop was a real thing for a while. That's how much I know about baseball. No, that was a phenomenal show having our first baseball player here on the show. It was great. Thanks to Trevor May. Make sure you check out No Breaks tomorrow. Another guest, Michelle Beadle, will be joining Trey Kirby on No Breaks on Wednesday, July 27th, just to get your dates right. Make sure you check out Skeets and I talked about the Kevin Durant to Boston possibility. That ain't gonna happen. Sure feels like that is just a rumor floating out there to give us stuff to talk about. That was fun. But yeah, here we are. We'll probably have another basketball show a little later in the week after No Breaks.
Yeah. And we got to play initials again. That was fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah. That was good.
I'm glad I heard that on Trevor's podcast, because, you know, a lot of different ways you can go with it, too. Yeah.
No, you're right.
In terms of topics.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a trivia guy. You would love it.
I do enjoy trivia. It was very hard writing the ones that I wrote. It was impossible. Not impossible, but it was difficult.
It is hard. Yeah. It is hard. You kind of, I find I write the stuff I know. You know, I write the characters I know and what they've been in, which isn't, you know, I don't have the vast knowledge of you guys. So for him to know Shallow Hal off the bat, like Shallow Hal came to me for some weird reason, and maybe because I heard or I saw In the Shallow of Coop Dog and Lady Gaga. And so I connected those two because I always connect things.
Right.
And then Bradley Cooper was on Smartless.
Yeah.
Which is a good putt.
It's a great putt.
All right. Again, thanks to Trevor May. Make sure you check out our other stuff. But for now, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, the Mets' Trevor May once missed a minor league start because he dunked so hard. Embrace the night, people.